The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him, and he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." And so they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon, and he told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. And then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Kephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Very clearly, the strength of the readings today speak to us about the notion of vocation. We have that first reading about Samuel and how the Lord calls him, but he did not know the Lord, said he, yet did not know the Lord. So in a very primitive, in a very simple way, he gets counsel from the priest Eli, and he listens to the Lord, and unknowingly he follows the Lord. And in the gospel reading from the book of John, we have this very peculiar encounter. Two disciples of John begin to follow Jesus. When you read the other Gospels or the other three synoptics, the call of the first disciples is very different. It speaks about them fishing and they drop their nets and they begin to follow Jesus. But John has a different remembrance. Now, the easy way to solve this is to say they were called twice. But that's probably a bit too trivial by way of good scholarship. It may well be that John remembers this event and the others did not know this event. But here we have this kind of strange encounter between these two disciples, and they're led by a question. Jesus, what are you looking for? The first words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. What are you looking for? It's a question. And they said, "Where do you live? Where do you stay?" And he said, "Come and see." And they dwelt with him. In John's gospel, this isn't just a very passing visit. They stayed with him. They stayed with him. Their call was not, it was a vocation call, but it was a call to discipleship. And I'd like to talk about that. When I was young and I was in high school, it was very popular for young men to go to the seminary. I mean, we had a place was on fire with vocations. And I came out of a small high school with 24 in our graduating class. Out of that, seven went to the seminary. So it was very in to go to the seminary when I was young. And people say, maybe he has a vocation. Now, a vocation only referred to priesthood. I mean, women went into the nuns. That was kind of a vocation, but not really. But the real vocation was a priest. I mean, if somebody said, "I think maybe somebody has a vocation," they were absolutely talking about priesthood. We knew nothing else except the vocation of priesthood. It exalted, you know, the unblemished lambs and all this wonderful stuff. You know. Well, so was my vocation, came this way. I said, "I think he has a vocation. I think I have a vocation. Okay, so I go follow it." And however, read this gospel. The vocation is not to priesthood. It's not to be a successful priest. The vocation is to discipleship. They went and they stayed with Jesus. Everybody's vocation is a call to discipleship, whether it's marriage or a single life, the person of a single life, or religious life in some form. The essential vocation is a call to discipleship. Listen to Samuel. He is called to follow the summons of the Lord. Not to greatness, not to success, not to achievement, but to discipleship. Now that's a critical understanding of the meaning of vocation when you begin to study this section of the Gospel of John. I've been reading recently two new books. Well, one is very new and the other is not so new, on Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton was this extraordinary monk. I began reading him 50 years ago in his very early writing. And a Trappist monk in Gethsemane in Kentucky. So fascinated. I went to Gethsemane to do a little retreat there. I must confess that I also went to the Kentucky Derby right after the retreat. But so I figured I'd get these two in at once. I went and said a few prayers, and then I went to the Derby, which was wonderful. This was great. It's all part of the vocation, you know. But anyway, so I went there, and I've been studying. There are two new books out on Merton. One is The Ground of Love and Truth. And this monk, he was 25 when he entered the Trappist, the abbey at Gethsemane. And almost 20 years a monk, a master of spirituality, a highly developed theologian, falls in love with a nurse. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. So he's in the hospital in Louisville, and he becomes very enchanted with this nurse, and she with him, and they have this marvelous, wonderful, wonderful kind of a passage of fascination with one another and love. Well, eventually they sift it, and they go through the great struggles and so forth, and he goes back to the monastery, and Margie Smith was her name. Her name wasn't revealed for a long time. She was just called the woman named M. You know, that happens. Anyway, eventually she became known as Margie Smith. And about 2 years after this great event in the life of Thomas Merton, he was tragically killed in an accident in Thailand. He was 53 when he died. What's fascinating about this, it's all part of his vocation tract, the tract of his vocation. Because when these disciples follow Jesus, they make a decision to embrace the unknown. All vocations embrace what isn't foreseen and what is unknown. I learned more about discipleship from a priest who was contemporary of mine, ordained about the same time. He died 2 years ago, and when he was 15 years a priest, he left and got married, had four children. As a wonderful, wonderful spiritual man, I learned more about discipleship from him than I ever learned in the priesthood. He followed the Lord. He sacrificed. When you follow Jesus Christ in discipleship, your discipleship will mature only when you walk in the footsteps of Jesus, which is to say, you will be called to be rejected. You will be unjustly judged in your life. You will have loneliness in your life. You will have unfulfilled expectations in your life. You will have fatigue. You will have suffering in your life. And you will have death and resurrection. And you will have miracles. You will see miracles. You will see healing. You will be called to share in giving life to people. You will be called to forgive people, to understand people, to break bread with sinners. That's vocation. That's to live out discipleship. That's the meaning of this call spoken about in the readings today by way of vocation. Wherever you find yourself in your life, listen to the inner voice of the Spirit. Listen to the questions which you have in your life. For the questions will lead you to say, what are you looking for? Come and see. Come and dwell with Jesus Christ. A priest can be very successful and very popular and can get all sorts of accolades, but not fulfill vocation. That is, not to live in discipleship. To live in discipleship means prayer. It means to embrace the unfolding of life, however it comes. It means to somehow find a spiritual value in the place in which you find yourself now. What are you looking for? Come and dwell with Jesus. Stay with the Lord and find meaning. After you have found meaning, then you will go and you will look for your brother or you will look for your sister and you will say, I have found the Messiah, the meaning of life. Keep in mind, when these disciples first followed Jesus, it was not a spiritual quest. They were looking for a triumphant Messiah. They were looking for a power Messiah, a Messiah who would save the people of Israel. So much so, when you read through the Gospels, you'll find James and John will say, by the way, when you come into your kingdom, one of us wants to be on your right and the other on your left. We want to be two cardinals. And we'd like to be the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense in your cabinet. Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup which I will drink? And they said, we can. That's a cup of miracle. And it's a cup of suffering. It's a cup of life. Can you drink the cup of life? Read on there in the Gospel of John. In chapter 3, you have Zacchaeus. Extraordinary fellow, comes to Jesus by night. Now, when John's Gospel said he comes by night, it doesn't mean after dark. It means he's in darkness. What are you looking for? Nicodemus, what are you looking for? He's rich, he's powerful, he has everything in life, but there's something missing. And Jesus says, you must be born again. You must be born from on high. And then if you read on, you'll have in chapter 4, remember the woman at the well, 5 times married, now living with a man who isn't her husband. So it seems, if you read the gospel that way, and Jesus treats her with great respect, great reverence, and she takes on the aura of vocation, and she is called to be reborn. And she goes into town and brings people back and says, I think I have found the Messiah. Read on in the Gospels. Chapter 19 in the Gospel of Luke, you have Zacchaeus, this little man. Small in stature, but small in heart. And he climbs a sycamore tree to see Jesus. And Jesus says, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to eat at your house tonight. And he comes down and he goes through a conversion. And the small heart becomes a great heart. That's Zacchaeus. 24th chapter of Luke. Remember the two disciples? They're disillusioned with life. They're disillusioned with Jesus. Their vocation crashes. And they're walking away from Jerusalem. And Jesus walks with them, and they rediscover the meaning of vocation, and they go back to Jerusalem, which is the place of their destiny. So where is the place of your destiny? Where do you live your vocation? Where are you in your life? You're in a place of pain. Is that part of your vocation? You're lonely in life. You're struggling for acceptance. You want to find a church, community to accept you. Where are you in your vocation? Listen to what the Lord says here. Listen to the voice of the Lord. There is a a wonderful story told in the rabbinic tradition. And I'll read it to you here. It's a great teaching. The great rabbi Israel Shem Tov, when he saw that his people were being mistreated, went to the forest, lit a holy fire, said a special prayer, asking God to protect his people, and God sent a miracle. Later on, his disciple Megid of Metrics followed his master's footsteps, and he would go to the same part of the forest and say, "Master of the universe, I do not know how to light the fire, but I do know the special prayer. Hear me, please." And God heard him, and the miracle happened. A generation passed, and Rabbi Moshe, when he saw that war was approaching, he went to the forest saying, "I do not know how to light the fire, and I do not know the special prayer, but I still remember the place. Help me, Lord." And the Lord helped. And 50 years later, Rabbi Israel, in his wheelchair, could not raise his hands, spoke to God and said, "I don't know how to light the holy fire. I do not know the prayer. I can't even find the place in the forest. All I can do is tell the story and hope that God hears me." And telling the story was enough, and God answered his prayer. Well, I thought about that. I visit Father Niall every day, take communion to him. He's got dementia. He's diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He's on a wheelchair. And I go and bring communion to him every day. And we pray, we tell the story. We tell the story of the Eucharist. He loves receiving the Eucharist. We pray together. Sometimes, if he can remember, we'll go back and remember the old days. He doesn't know how to light the fire. He doesn't know the place in the forest. He can't remember the prayer, but he knows the story. And that's enough. And in this way, he is in discipleship. He is living his vocation to the fullest. He doesn't have to perform. He doesn't have to achieve. He just has to belong. The vocation call is not to do something. The vocation call is to belong to Jesus Christ, wherever you are in your life.